Tonight, we do our usual Tuesday thing as State Senator Dan Katowski takes your law suggestions. Then later, travel expert Mark DiCarlo joins the show. Finally, Patty's partner in crime, Kevin Cleary, has a full LA meeting update. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Oh, I'm looking forward to hearing about those LA meeting updates. I wonder what if it just sounds crazy. It must sound ridiculous that I come out to Los Angeles and I get to have these meetings. Because Craig, I got to be honest with you. I sit in these meetings and I pinch myself. I don't understand what's gotten me to this point. Even at the Laugh Factory last night, I went up at the world famous. And then you've heard of the Laugh Factory? Because if I say world famous,
I have. I've heard of it.
Am I just making that up?
And you put a Facebook post up where it's your picture and you're standing in front of the Laugh Factory logo. That was really cool.
Oh, really? Yeah. Thank you.
Well, I mean, you see that in stand-up specials and things. It's a pretty iconic, isn't it? Isn't that pretty iconic picture just in itself?
That's what made last night very interesting because, as you know, there is a Laugh Factory comedy club in Chicago, which is formerly occupying the space that was formerly the Lakeshore Theater, which is where I performed all of my one-woman shows. I created a Pregnant Party Girl and Mamacita, Tales of a Diaper Diva there, and I perform there a lot, but because the Laugh Factory moved in, I have not performed there. I'm a Zanies comic. I've been a Zanies comic for 15 years. I know that sounds weird. Does that make sense that I'm a Zanies comic? It's that it's kind of like riding the horse that brung me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, or it's like you're on a sports team. You're the Zanies. You're part of the Zanies team.
Yes, and I've been headlining with them for years. They helped create my career. So it just never occurred to me that when I came to Los Angeles, it might be weird. Because I just kind of think of them as, since I don't have any club in Chicago, I mean in Los Angeles, I have the opportunity at many of the clubs. I've done the Improv and the Ice House in Pasadena. So when we got to, I was on my way to the Laugh Factory and it occurred to me, oh, wait a minute. I don't work the Laugh Factory in Chicago. I hope this isn't weird. And I got there. It was weird. The owner was there, and it was Jamie Masada, and I don't think he made it weird. I made it weird. I was like, oh, hi, yeah, I've never worked your club in Chicago. Thank you for letting me come and do some time. And he has a really beautiful club in Los Angeles. Everyone was very nice. Do you know who Aida Rodriguez is? She was one of the finalists on Last Comic Standing.
Yeah.
She's a tall, beautiful Latina, and it was a show called Spanglish. It was an all Latin show, and I mean, everyone was speaking English. There was sort of, you know, I can't do Spanglish. I don't speak Spanish. You probably speak more Spanish than I do, Craig.
I doubt that. I know what it sounds like when I get yelled at in Spanish. I know that. I know what angry words are sometimes in Spanish. I think that's the full range.
I've never known what the FCC rules are on swearing in Spanish.
The same as in English. Surprising. You cannot use any of them.
Can't use any of those?
No.
All right. I did my set last night. I went up and the audience could not have been nicer. It was a lot of fun. The audiences in Los Angeles, I think, are they're very laid back, and I think that they get that energy of comics going up, feeling like at any moment, you know, this might be our shot at whatever, stardom or maybe a break on television. So it was a lot of fun. And Aida Rodriguez came up to me after my set. Actually, after her set, I went up first, and then there were several other comics. She performed for 20 minutes, killed, but sought me out in the room and came up to me and wanted to tell me how great I was. I was like, oh, it was very strange to sort of be welcomed. You always think when you go into another town with other performers, everyone's trying to get their piece of the pie, and you don't expect people to be that welcoming. And she could not have been more generous and kind to me. So it was even a shout out from the stage. It was very cool. I felt very welcomed in Los Angeles.
So she positively heckled you? There was a positive
from this. Yeah, I was a shout out heckling. No, she was on stage.
Okay. When she took the stage, she said how great you were. Nice.
Yes. Yeah. When she took the stage. And then there was a joke she did, and I was the only one laughing. And she goes, of course you think that's funny. Chicago people get it. You know, that was nice. She knew what my laugh sounded like from the crowd. It was, what I'm telling you is, it was very surreal.
Yeah. That sounds amazing.
It was really wonderful. I'm just not used to it. I've been doing clubs all over the country for many years, but there is a different energy when you go up in Los Angeles. You know, it's these comics who are, you know, kind of scratching it out for that next big break. And WGN has been so kind and wonderful about letting me come out here and do my shows. And it's been really, really fun. I keep meaning to tell you about the Airbnb. Have I told you anything about this place?
I know No, not since you got there, but I knew about it before you left.
That's pretty spectacular.
That counts. Is it?
I want to post pictures, but I don't want people to know where I am.
So you have to post them tonight when you're on your way home.
Yes. I'm literally living on Canyon Road. So I'm living in a canyon that is lush. I think I haven't told you about it because it seems cruel with what the temps are like in Chicago. And I'll be back tomorrow. So my respite from the temperature in Chicago is about to end. But it's I don't post any of the pictures because it's pretty spectacular.
Right. You have a pool and stuff, right?
No, this one, I did not get the one with the pool.
Okay.
I do have an outdoor fire pit.
Sure.
And like a lounging area and a dining tent. I have this like a rain shower, like a huge shower head.
Like the ones in hotels, not the ones that people have in their houses.
And her home is nestled in these like just in the woods. So it's like, it's kind of like, do you know what glamping is?
No.
It's kind of like camping, but without roughing it. So her
it's glamorous camping?
Yes.
Wow.
I'm glamping because every window is like, it's just fresh air all the time and you're in the woods. So every window is huge and looks out. It just looks like you're camping.
But you're sipping a mojito.
Exactly.
Okay.
Or, you know, or Fireball, whatever it is.
Whatever you need.
Do you know what Fireball is, by the way?
I do. We talked about it last week, too. Apparently, that's your drink of choice while you're out there.
Apparently, because Mark DiCarlo did not want his bottle of it. So he calls it stripper's whiskey. So apparently, that's fine.
Travel expert, Mark DiCarlo, talking about stripper's whiskey.
Who will be on later.
Yeah. Yes.
But the Airbnb, the experience has been better than I could have imagined. The hostess is wonderful. It is weird being in someone else's home and they're there. Like I had thought that it was going to be a little more separate. I was watching. She has Downton Abbey on her DVR, and I was kind of binge watching that over the weekend. And she would come down and was like making.
See, that is weird. I mean,
yes.
Airbnb is supposed to mimic a hotel. You just do it in someone's house,
right?
But I would never take. You know, a rent-a-car with someone else in it. So it's a little weird to do that.
Yes, be in their car and have them go,
hey,
that's not, hey.
Right. You should brake a little more.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Maybe you want to put, premium gasoline.
Have you guys had breakfast together or anything? Has it been, is there a friendship blossoming?
Oh, it's funny. She was telling me that, one of her last guests, they're planning to travel together, and which is wonderful. I'm not that outgoing. But she's been lovely and very kind and very nice about the whole thing. And she likes having me as a guest. I'll write a nice write up for her. But it's a good experience. You can choose to have a whole home to yourself. You can also just get a room. You can get part of someone's home. And that's what I ended up doing was I took up the first floor. It's been very nice. And she, she has been sparse. Oh, by the way, I did watch the pilot episode of Call Saul.
Good.
So that was.
Did you enjoy that?
I did. It is very dark. Have you watched it?
Yes, it's very dark. We should take a break.
Let's take a break. Let's go ahead and do that.
That.
And
yeah.
When we come back, we'll also talk about horrible things that happen in meetings because I had that happen today. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. Thank you for hanging out with us pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and I'm talking to you live from Los Angeles, my very last night here at the Casa de Carlo y Alvarez. And it's been a wonderful trip, a lot of meetings. I've had about 12 meetings since last Monday, so some of them are two a day. And, we have Kevin Cleary, my writing partner, on the show quite a bit. And part of the reason isn't just because he's my writing partner. He knows a lot of stuff. Craig, have you found that to be true when we have him on the show?
He is very knowledgeable.
He's very knowledgeable. Very, very, very knowledgeable. He knows a lot of stuff.
And you guys succeed at stuff. You get stuff done. It's very interesting to hear all the stuff that you've accomplished.
Well, but the thing is that he's an expert on a lot of things, which it turns out can make meetings last a little bit longer than I think they're going to. And about an hour and a half in, my coffee wears off. And also the coffee that I've consumed makes me really feel some urgency. And
I understand that.
Yes. Yeah, so when I'm in a meeting, I get nervous about, and I, you know, being new to the world of having a lot of meetings, I spent a lot of years on the road. I just go in and out of clubs. I'm in, I'm out. There's nothing to discuss. Either I did well or I didn't. Either way, I get a check. Now with at WGN, we have, you and I have meetings once a week with our bosses. And you know, I come out here and we're pitching ideas, whether it's for television or film. I think that this is a skill I did not perfect. I don't know if there's a window of opportunity that I missed where it's hard for me to pay attention sometimes when we're not talking about something that I work on. Do you ever find that? I think that for you and I, when we're meeting with our bosses, it's very intensive, so we know exactly what we're dealing with. But when Kevin starts to kind of go off on other things and other, like he honestly, sometimes we talked about this last week, he'll start talking about what road he took to get to the meeting and, you know, whether it's a 405 and like, and it's the first 10 minutes of the meeting. I'm like, oh, I can't pay attention.
I mean, that happens with family too. When you sit down with like my grandmother or someone who you haven't seen in a little while and someone else at the table starts talking about something, you can't just walk away because you're not involved in it, but you just sit there. And then, yeah, if you excuse yourself to go to the restroom or something, you're aware that the whole table will know how long you've been gone. So you gotta do that as quick as possible.
You can't hide.
No, you cannot hide.
Well, my concern about getting up to go to the ladies' room during a meeting is that then the person, the executive that we're meeting with, will go, oh, yeah, this seems like a good enough time to end the meeting. Right? So maybe we've lost valuable time and conversation that would...
Ooh.
Yeah, thank you. Yes,
no, that definitely makes sense. If you excuse yourself and you're part of the two-person team sitting there, Kevin's not going to, you know, necessarily talk alone. So they might just be done.
But it all. But to, and by the way, I learned a lot. So one, and it happened tonight. About an hour and 45 minutes in a meeting, and it was at Imagine, which is Ron Howard and Brian Grazer's company. Right, which is huge, but I honestly was just moments away from just having it be the most embarrassing moment of my entire life. I had to. It was either go now or ask for a mop. Basically what it was coming down
to.
And I said excuse me, and I stood up, and then when I came back, they had all gotten up to leave.
Maybe you could incorporate that into your pitch. Maybe there's some sort of pitch where the character really has to go to the bathroom. So if you do need a mop, you have to say this was part of it.
Right.
Right. Well, this is just dedication.
I started thinking, well, and I also, the other problem was I was getting late. We started the meeting at 5:30 LA time, which is 7:30 your time. So 2 hours in is 9:30 your time. And we're starting to get up against when I need to start getting ready for the show.
Yeah, you really got to come do this stuff.
I do. Yeah. And then it was going to be an hour to get to Mark DiCarlo's house where I have our hookup with our equipment. And so that was starting to bother me. And I thought if I had gotten up to go to the ladies' room earlier in this meeting, like that would be okay because we would have still had business to cover rather than like new things. So now I don't know if people have techniques for making it through a meeting, whether it's you needing to use a restroom and you're afraid. I think I'm not the only one who is afraid to excuse themselves in the middle of an important meeting because it'll make you look bad. I think there's a lot of things that it just occurred to me while I was, you know, I probably should have been paying attention to the meeting, but Kevin was talking and talking. So my mind started to drift.
I mean, you carpool as well, being a comedian. Is there any sort of shyness with making the other person pull the car over to go to the restroom?
Well, another thing about that, by the way, we used to carpool, and this time, I don't know if you saw the picture on Facebook, but I lost my driving privileges yesterday. Because, as I told you last week, I lost my car in a parking garage, my gray rental car, and there are 1,000 gray cars in the Century City Mall parking structure. Many of them are Volkswagens, and my key fob wasn't working. So I was 40 minutes late to a meeting with Fox Studios, which really ticked my writing partner off. And then yesterday, I may or may not have gone to the wrong location.
I feel like it's May. I feel like you did.
I really did.
Okay.
I was 20 minutes late for a meeting with Tapestry Films. They're the people that made things like what's the movie with the president's masks and they're robbing banks?
Oh,
and,
yeah, no, that's a good question.
Patrick Swayze and Keanu Reeves.
Or Point Break.
Point Break. It's Point Break.
Point Break?
Yeah.
Hi, Rob.
Good job, Rob.
I should send you the picture. They actually have those masks encased in glass in their conference room. So they did that movie, and I was 20 minutes late to that movie, to that meeting.
Or you were really on time wherever you went. You were extra early to whatever studio you did go to.
Well, Okay, so that was the maddening thing was, yes, I was 10 minutes early to the, because I went to their old offices. I had the address for their old offices in my phone.
Got it.
And completely dismissed my writing partner's email. Hey, this is
Those
their
aren't
new
important.
Address.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, the new address being new being the key word in that, that email. So I was, if I had just realized it, the moment I got there I was in the wrong place, I would have only been 10 minutes late. And, you know, I don't sound like I'm somebody who can roll in late. I'm not like talent. I'm not some big, big, whatever. I'm not a big star. And so getting there, it was bad. Fortunately, what we were pitching was a sitcom called Patty Happens, which means if something bad's going to happen, I can make it worse. So that kind of fed into the entire concept.
Again, this just is
sitcom.
Incorporated into your pitch. You showed up late on purpose. It's just
yes.
a part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and then being able to tell them that I lost my car was all, and that the manager of the parking structure actually kidnapped me in the golf cart and wouldn't let me out. And so that was, that's what happened. I don't know how other people make it through meetings, but we'll find out. By the way, I don't want anyone to think we've forgotten that it's Tuesday. After the news tonight, we have It Ought to Be a Law with State Senator Dan Katowski. Give us a call or a text at 312-981-7200. Again, that's 312-981-7200. And we'd love to hear what you think ought to be a law. And we have a $25 gift card to Paisano's Pasta and Pizza if we pick your law. More after this on 720 WGN.
Yeah. What is that? What is that? I don't like that.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh, yeah.
This is a call to all. It ought to be a law. Put it on the book, Springfield, and pass the vote. This is a call
oh,
to
yeah.
all.
You're listening pretty late, and that music means it's time for It Ought to Be a Law with State Senator Dan Katowski. Hi, Senator. How are you doing tonight?
I'm great, Patty. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for joining us. I know that these get to be kind of late nights, and you've got to be so busy right now. I know that I saw on Facebook that you had an event. Was it today with Senator Panamoltoff and the transparency in grants?
Yeah, we had the... It was an announcement of how there's been more full implementation of the Grant Accountability and Transparency Act, which impacts about $46.8 billion worth of spending. That's right, billion. And it allows for greater accountability and transparency. If you are not performing with the grant that you've received, you can lose your funding. If you have a violation or a conflict of interest, you can lose your funding. You have to provide audited financial statements. You have to provide a budget for how you're spending it. Believe it or not, there was not that requirement. It's huge, and it's a bipartisan effort with Senator Althoff and Representative Patty Bullock and Representative Fred Crespo. So we were the chief sponsors and co-sponsors, and we're able to get it passed. And
okay.
The good news about it. What's that?
Congratulations on all the work you've done.
Thank you. Thank you, Barry. The good news about it is that it allows for, you know, greater scrutiny. And also for those who are receiving state money and they're doing a good job and they're making a difference, it bolsters what they're doing. Because quite frankly, if there's recipients of state money and they're poorly performing, they're not doing their job, and they shouldn't be receiving the money. So
there you go.
It's a pretty simple formula to follow.
Well, cool. How is everything else going? How is everything else going with the budget talks? I know that I saw that you were at a couple forums over the last few weeks talking about how it's going to affect different programs throughout the state. What kind of response are you getting from voters? Are people kind of chiming in and raising their voices about the budget that Governor Rauner introduced?
Well, you know, I think I'm hearing a lot from people who provide support and services in the community that impacts people who have developmental disabilities. I'm hearing a lot from, there was cuts proposed in the budget to local government. So I'm hearing a lot of feedback from local mayors and village trustees and aldermen and about the potential of those cuts. I'm hearing a lot from higher education about the potential impact of the cuts on higher education, how that will cause an increase in tuition costs. Today I filed a bill and actually heard it in committee, in the Appropriations Committee, which would, you heard me talk about the accessing these surplus special interest funds that receive a greater degree of protection than, let's say, a child who has autism. And we accessed about a little over $600 million of these funds to try and address current financial challenges that we're facing in the state. And we're doing it without borrowing money. We're not doing it without raising taxes. We're doing it by drawing money from these existing special funds that have a standing balance. And which is for people who are listening, and this has been going on for decades in the state, and it's actually grown, prior to my arrival with these special funds that people would create over time, and which from a fee or a specific tax, and it would create a fund that would grow, and a standing balance would grow consequently. And, they use it for funds or use it to pay for costs during an existing year. But if, all that money was spent, for the program costs or the expense of that year, there would be leftover dollars. In most services, right, or most program areas, there aren't leftover dollars. It just doesn't exist in state government. And, in fact, for the most part, in other states. And so what I'm trying to do is basically fix what's broken and collapse a lot of these funds into the general revenue fund. But short of doing that, what I did today was introduce the bill, which accessed about $600 million so we can help avoid this crisis of not funding child care in the state of Illinois and home-based services for people who are living with developmental disabilities, for support for corrections to make sure we pay people who are working in our prisons so they could do their job in keeping us safe, and just a whole host of other things. So pass that out of committee today, and I'm looking forward to make sure that spurs on greater conversations to fix our problem we have in the state.
Yeah, that's the thing. And again, this is why we do our segment, It Ought to Be a Law. And we encourage people to, chime in if there's something that you think is important that maybe, the law that you worked on last year with the fees on alimony, if people were using debit cards to withdraw money, you didn't know about that until it came up, or at least I don't think you did until it came up on our show. Is that correct? Yeah.
No, I didn't. I didn't know it. And, there's... I filed a bill, and something had contacted one of our, one of our listeners contacted me this year, and I filed a bill which would allow students who are going to school who have developmental disabilities to compete in sports. But for many students who live with have special needs, they may go stay in high school beyond the age of 18, and this would allow them to compete. The bill that I filed beyond the age of 18 to 20, and or 20 or 21, and I'm working with the Illinois High Schools Association to try and resolve that issue. But that was a constituent who reached out and files what we're doing and basically provided as a suggestion, and I filed that bill.
Oh, that's great. Well, and again, that's why we encourage people to get involved, because I think a lot of people assume that if it hasn't been done, that you guys just don't care, or that that you're ignoring things. But sometimes it just really isn't on your radar. You can't know every single thing that might need to be addressed. And then there are people who think, well, there are already too many laws. But we've talked about that before too. It's you have to decide what's important and what needs to be addressed, and you take it on a case-by-case basis. So again, 312-981-7200. We are talking to State Senator Dan Katowski. We do some silly stuff. So if there's something you just want to call in that you've
speaking
noticed.
Of which, yes. Speaking of which, Patty, we do have a text from the 407, and I had to Google 407. That is a Florida area.
Hey, hello, Florida.
Yeah, it should be a law that if it snows in March, everyone's allowed to take a week off and go to Florida until the snow melts.
Oh, is that?
That's apparently but they're in Florida, so I don't know where their law is coming from. But
well, perhaps it sounds like a very unselfish law. They're looking out for other people.
I like that. Yeah, I know from the warm climes of California that that certainly, I think that everyone deserves that. I agree. I don't want to make anyone feel bad if they're planning to call, so I don't want to show my favorites. 312-981-7200. Call or text us for It Ought to Be a Law. And again, we have a $25 gift card to Paisano's Pasta and Pizza. Craig, would you go to Florida to go somewhere warm, or would you go, where would your warm
That is a
be.
Great Mexico. I think Mexico.
Mexico. Senator, yeah. where would you go?
Well, you know, I am going to, for the first time ever, I'm going to Scottsdale, Arizona for Cubs spring training. My dad and I are going.
You are.
My brother-in-law. So we're going to see the Cubs play the White Sox and play the Royals. And I want to go to Arizona. That's where I want to go.
Oh, it's a dry heat. That's what they always tell you.
It's a
dry heat. Yeah, it gets
I saw on the way into the hotel where I'm staying, I saw Eddie Cruz, and he said, you know what? I don't like it when Patty's she's in California. He said, I like it when she's here, not when she's here in Chicago.
Who said that?
Eddie Cruz. He's a guy who's a firefighter. He's been
years. Oh yeah, I know Eddie
for a long time, and he was out in front of the hotel, and I just basically was talking to him, and he said, you know, I said, could you just tell Patty I like it better when she's in town? I think it just gives people a level of comfort knowing that you're around Chicagoland area.
They know where to find me. Is that what it is?
Well, I just feel that. They know that it just gives. I think they're used to your being here. It was just interesting.
To counter that, we've actually had listeners text and say that I sound more relaxed and they like my pace better when I'm in Los Angeles.
That is true.
Correct.
But tonight, it seems like a consensus tonight from the 815. Patty, please come home. Enough of LA already. They
okay.
miss you from the 815.
Aw, all right. I'm catching the next flight out. Well, at least at 10 a.m. I'll be home in Chicago doing the show from the Allstate Showcase studio tomorrow night, I promise, barring any last-minute storms or anything like that. We're going to take a quick break here. 312-981-7200. We are on the line with State Senator Dan Katowski for It Ought to Be a Law. Again, give us a call and let us know what you think ought to be like. And win a $25 gift card to Paisano's Pasta and Pizza on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late, and it's Tuesday, which means we are right in the middle of It Ought to Be a Law with State Senator Dan Katowski. And Senator, are you in Springfield right now? Is that why you ran into our friend Eddie Cruz?
Yes, I am.
I reported
to you that I was going into my hotel, and I could see the Capitol from my room. I could see the dome right now. It's lit up.
Well, and I find Springfield to be a pretty spectacular. I mean, I know. Look, it's a rural town in Illinois that has a wonderful capital. I mean, not rural, but I mean the primary sort of I guess is the capital is the government the primary commerce in Springfield.
Well, no. I mean, listen. Springfield is. They also have the University of Illinois Springfield
that's right.
As well. And it's a pretty sizable campus. And so there's a lot to do. The city of Springfield has an awful lot for people to see and do. I mean, the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Museum and Library, so impressive. And you learn
really
so much
about
it.
It really is gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and everybody can go. They can see the governor's mansion, but they go see a tour of the Capitol. It's such a beautiful building. And it's theirs. Their tax dollars have paid for it throughout the history of the state of Illinois, and it's a really wonderful place to see and visit and learn a lot about government and public service.
That hologram that they have, that sort of show with the librarian, is such a cool. I'm sorry, I just gave it away, didn't I? I apologize to anybody who.
I think it gives it away. It's just the content would give it away, but. I went there, believe it or not, I've been down here since 2007. Mm-hmm. And for the first time this summer, my son was here for a baseball tournament, and I finally got to tour the museum. That was my first time. The first event I went there was when I got elected, and it was, right after I was sworn in. And everybody else in my family had gone for a tour of the museum, and all the other people who supported me who were here for my swearing-in. But I never got a chance to actually tour the museum and go through it. And finally, in 2014, I finally got a chance to go through the museum, and it was great. Just incredible.
Yeah. Oh, it is. And you know, when we talk about how ugly politics are now and how bipartisan it is, I mean, how, you know, how everyone gets so angry and heated. There's that great hallway with all the horrible things that people said about Lincoln. And you realize that politics has always been a little bit rough around the edges, hasn't it?
Well, yeah, I think it has. And I think and even more so throughout history. But I think people would be very surprised if they come down to Springfield. I think what they read about or see on TV is the times where there's a great deal of conflict or disagreement. And they would be under the impression that there isn't a great deal of camaraderie or people working together or friendship or respect. And I think you'll see how we conduct ourselves as we should, for the most part, is working together to try and solve problems in the state of Illinois. And, it doesn't happen as quickly as it might happen in other industries, but it takes time to resolve major conflicts and major challenges. And we work together for the most part. Now, there are fundamental differences of opinion, but I gotta tell you, that's what makes our country great. You move beyond what the challenges are. You move beyond your points of disagreement to try and resolve problems and do something meaningful.
And here we have people who want to do something meaningful. First, we have Ruth, who's called in with an idea for it ought to be a law. Hey, Ruth, how are you doing?
Hi, thank you. My suggestion is, first, I wish I could take Governor Rauner on the ADA paratransit. That's Americans with Disabilities. Small vehicle that looks like it's a PACE bus because PACE somehow is indirectly responsible with it. Crybabies, lazy. I have a fracture in my back. I'm 66 going on 67, and I very rarely ever use it. But what I do see out there is a travesty of justice. There should be vouchers. In other words, you're guaranteed once a week, one or two vouchers instead of every day, twice a day, or unlimited numbers of services regarding the ADA paratransit. There are two services available. One costs $3 per ride, and it usually runs from 5:30 in the morning till approximately 9 o'clock at night. And the other one is called a dial-a-ride, which is a dollar fee that usually comes through townships, but is still associated with that ADA paratransit bus. Also, this, the Waukegan Metro train station is non-disability accessible. The length of it, the station is closed early each day, not open on the weekends at all. And if you want to take that ADA paratransit to the Great Lakes Naval Metro train station, Lake County, the bus will not operate there, and there's only a few minutes difference. However, it will go to Waukegan and have you there for an hour waiting in 25 degrees below zero, with no metro train station, and that's morning, afternoon. I'm not talking about
Ruth,
evening hours.
I'm going to go ahead and help. I think that to consolidate this and so we can get to Matthew, our last caller, I think that you want efficiency with the ADA transportation.
Yeah, and congratulations, Governor Rauner, for trying to save the unlimited source of income, the American taxpayers, from paying out an exorbitant amount of money. Thank you both. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Ruth. And Matthew, you had a law right before we go. What's your law?
Yeah, hello. Glad you're back, Patty.
Thanks.
Back. And that Waukegan train station is rough.
What's your law, Matthew?
My law is your host last night, Hannah, had a guest that was explaining the problems out at O'Hare Field between the runways. The nasty service, they said only LaGuardia was nastier than O'Hare.
Okay, so improve O'Hare efficiency?
Yeah.
Is your law?
Yeah, and they explained how it can be done in all the runways and the towers and the terminals. Okay. It can all be done in, I don't know the legal ways, but I really think it should be done legally.
All right, we're going to take your law and Ruth's law, another text that we have under consideration, and just hold on, and we'll figure out what that's going to be right after this on 720 WGN. We're listening pretty late, and we've got a few more laws that came in by text. Craig, what do we got? Hello?
Yeah, sorry about that. Oh, just clicking the wrong button here for a second. No, we're here. We're all here, Patty.
Okay.
Our first law is that if Chuy Garcia gets elected mayor on the anniversary of his election every year, the city of Chicago should be renamed Chuago. That's from the 518.
Okay.
Yeah. And by the way, our 407 texter from earlier, they live in Waukegan. They just want to make sure we know that they're not in Florida. I guess they're from Florida, but they live in Waukegan. Also from the 518, I read that one already. The 847, Patty and Craig, I want to inform you that Stephen Amell is coming to Wizard World Chicago in August. It ought to be a law that we rename Chicago Stephen Amell Day.
Wait, so Stephen Amell?
Yeah. Arrow.
From Arrow?
He'll be
He's
in the city.
To... What?
Yeah, he'll be in Chicago.
I'm sorry, Senator. That's a big moment for us.
For us. Okay. More for Patty, I guess, to see him in person.
Must have Stephen Amell on the show. Okay.
From the 815, it ought to be a law, or maybe this is already a law. I just want to know who to contact about it. We need to make sure it is easy to report abuse / unfit conditions for minor children. Example, I have seen my child safety doorknob locks on the inside of my grandchild's bedroom room, so that means that her mother is locking her in the room. Please let me know what I can do to help her. That's from the 815.
Huh.
Yeah. And those are it. That's our law suggestions via text.
Okay. So here we go. We've got if it snows in March, we should all go to Florida. There should be efficiency in the ADA paratransit bus transportation system. Matthew would like the efficiency of O'Hare improved. If Chuy Garcia wins, every anniversary should be Chicago should be called Chuago?
Chuago. They want it to be Chuago.
We have a vote for we have a law for Stephen Amell Day and also unfit how to report unfit conditions for children. I guess I'm going to go with improved efficiency for the ADA bus service. Senator,
I don't know if she was saying I was very confused by that. Was she saying vouchers to be able to make it more affordable?
Well, I was thinking I was going to go more with the Waukegan is not accessible and is
yeah,
I was kind of we had to pick one of those. So if it was the vouchers, I kind of put that I put that under the umbrella of efficiency for the
okay. Yeah, I would say and I guess efficiency gives the impression like there's like that needs to be greater. I don't like there's some waste or we need to more efficiently spend money. I would say we need to actually target dollars toward the Waukegan train station to make it more ADA accessible.
Right.
I don't know how they can get away with that with a public program supposed to, but I think that's I would support that as well.
Okay, so we've got two for the ADA, Craig.
I vote for that too. Let's make it a clean sleep.
Well, we have Rob Martier might want to vote. I don't know if he's had a chance to keep track.
I'm gonna go with the senator on this one. I like that idea.
There we go. And I don't know who's in traffic tonight. I forgot to ask.
It's Nick DiGiorgio.
Hey, Nick DiGiorgio. I don't know if you want to vote. Have you had a chance to write down all your notes and weigh the pros and cons of each law?
I have not, but I want to vote twice because we're in Chicago.
Oh, wow. I had to explain that to an executive today in Los Angeles, and I felt really dirty that I had to do that. That's our legacy. Do you have one that you would like to vote for twice?
No.
Okay, so I believe that I appreciate your vote early, vote often. The efficiency for the paratransit system to Ruth, Senator.
That would be a present vote.
Really
not a no vote.
Oh, I'm sorry. A present. Nick has voted present, and we always appreciate presents. And Senator, as always, we encourage you to fix the state. Thank you for all your hard work.
I'll do my best to fix what's broken. Thank you.
Fix what's broken. Thank you, Senator. We'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah, have a great day. Yep. Thanks so much. You take care.
Thank you. You're listening pretty late, and I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in Los Angeles. And my writing partner, business partner, Kevin Cleary, is on the line. And Kevin, I have to tell you, there seems to be some disagreement as to whether or not it's better or worse that I do my show from out here. So we have to convince people why it's good. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to do this show at WGN for as long as they'll have me. But we are trying to do other projects that would complement what I do, is what I'm trying to explain to people, Kevin. Right?
That's right. right. There's no reason for Chicago to be jealous, like an angry boyfriend.
Well, wait, hold on. Well, it's really beautiful out here. The weather. I mean, I try not to. I've stopped taking selfies outside. Or
it's
other
even sunny and warm at night here. Yeah, I know.
But everything I'm doing is to actually what I'm doing is try to make sure that I don't have to leave Chicago very often to do work that's both here and I can do from home or to keep doing my radio show, because I really love doing this. And I'm so grateful to WGN for giving me the opportunity to pursue work with you, which is we are script writers and we have other projects. We had some great meetings. Which ones can we tell people about? This is the part I don't understand.
This is actually the part where I forget everything that's happened the last few days, because there have been so many of these meetings and things like
yes.
that. But there was one consistent thing that happened in almost every meeting that we were in this week, whether it was about television or whether it was about feature films. Mm-hmm. And that was everybody liked to gossip about who has gotten fired and who is getting hired.
Yeah, that was weird. And I have to, because I'm not an insider, I was telling Craig this earlier, that once during some meetings, I'm afraid to excuse myself to go to the ladies' room because I'm worried that then that will remind the exec that maybe they have somewhere else to be too. So I will sit through and, try to pay attention. And, yeah, you guys are talking about all these big changes. What are some of the big changes that have happened at the studio? Because I think we all, we were all kind of keyed into what was going on with Sony because of the leaked emails and what went on with the Jonah – was it Jonah Hill movie? No, the – what movie was that?
The
James
Seth Rogen, James
Seth
Franco
Rogen.
Movie, The Interview, that was mm-hmm. affected by the – what they call the Sony hack. Which ultimately the fallout, all the public emails and public disclosure, not just emails that embarrassed executives, but disclosure of confidential financial information and proprietary information that Sony held and things like that. A lot of their internal information was exposed in that way. And the head of the company, Amy Pascal, who's the head of the Motion Picture Group, resigned to spend more time with her family and start a production company. Where she
is that
a
quote unquote where she was resigned, or is that something where we take to mean she was asked very urgently to step aside?
The internals, it's always going to be a he said, she said in those situations,
sure.
Right?
Sure.
You can't fire me. I quit.
No, there you go. Right. Na, 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 na.
Break up with me. I'm breaking up with you first.
Well, how does that affect? I mean, because why should people be interested in how that affects their movie going experience? Because it does make a difference who runs a studio. I mean, as far as Sony goes, it'll affect a lot of projects going forward, won't it?
That's right. And that's usually why everyone in town cares, because whether it's a network or a studio, all the individual producers, writers, actors, talent deals, people who have projects ongoing in development or about to be in production for that studio, all of a sudden they're all on a razor's edge, because they don't know if their project is going to move forward, because now that there's a new guy in charge, you don't know if he's going to, or guy or girl in charge, you don't know if he or she is going to, like what their predecessors laid down, because if their predecessors picked that and they got fired ultimately. So do you really want to back their stuff, or do you want to develop your own slate, which takes a little time? You have to buy projects, you have to develop them, you go into production, and usually it takes a couple of years for a studio chief or a network chief to see the fruits of the results of their agenda on screen, whether it's a television screen or the screen at the multiplex. So everyone's always wondering if their project is going to survive a potential clearing of all the current stuff.
Right. And it does have a ripple effect throughout Hollywood, too. It's amazing, because it does put some people, does it make them a little edgy knowing that there's a big change, not knowing what to expect if there's a new agenda at a studio? I mean, it seems to have, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is, sometimes you're never even going to find out about it. You shot a pilot for ABC, and when that pilot was not going to make it to air because the head of your division at ABC was replaced, right? You actually had to live through this.
I was so close.
No one ever told you, though, right? No one ever called. We only happened to find out about it because we had some other meetings at ABC Television, and we happened to run into one of the executives for your show after the other people had been fired while he was saying, hey, I'm typing up my resume. By the way, your show's not going to make it, you know, and this was months later.
Hey, Kevin,
he actually confirmed it.
Kevin, I'm curious, did you actually see The Interview, by the way, just before we forget about that? Kevin, did you see that movie?
I have not seen The Interview yet.
Have you cried?
It's not on cable.
It's terrible. I watched it on Netflix. It's not funny. I wonder how much Sony regrets even making that movie, scale of 1 to 10 or a million.
Well, I'm not so sure about Sony, but you can be sure that Amy Pascal is probably regretting it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure Seth Rogen and James Franco are actually really on the plus side for that one right now either.
Yeah, not really.
Yeah.
Personally, internally, you know. So that's. But also, you know, it doesn't just happen at Sony. Adam Goodman was the president of Paramount. He just resigned this past week while Patty was here. And that's all the talk of the town. Amy Pascal's job has been replaced. Her job has now been taken by Tom Rothman, who used to be the head of Fox Studios and was running TriStar, a studio within the studio over at Sony. So they had a couple of big executives kind of like ladies-in-waiting for the queen, waiting for the queen to fall, and now there's a new king. Long live the king. So, but now we're looking to see who's going to move into the top spot over at Paramount, and that's not an easy studio to run. They have a diverse slate of films, but they also do not have any of the big, except for Transformers, they don't have any of the big franchises out there that they can count on the way a Disney can count on Star Wars and the Marvel movies, and Sony can count on Spider-Man and things like that.
Speaking of that, let's talk about that when we come back. The proliferation of the superheroes on television and what we've been hearing from executives as far as what they want for television, things like miniseries and limited series. And let's talk about that a little bit because I think it's interesting of how much that's going to change, I think, television going forward. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. We're talking to Kevin Cleary on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and I am broadcasting from Los Angeles just for one more night. And I want to thank Morty for calling in and saying that I sound more relaxed when I'm in Los Angeles. I appreciate that. I feel very lucky to be given the opportunity to do my show this way. And I'm also very grateful to have Kevin Cleary as my business partner and writing partner and very good friend. And we've been pitching television and feature films, both things that we've written ourselves or projects by other people. And Kevin, would you say that this is more than ever any other trip we've done out here for television been told how much people want miniseries and limited series? Because that seems like it's a new development in the last year or so.
Yes, they are back. The miniseries, limited series, or event series. The terms are kind of interchangeable with the executives that we talk to, but for the most part, the miniseries thing, it all started with Hatfields and McCoys, and it continued through this fall and this with things like Houdini, and there's a Texas Rangers thing coming out, and everyone's doing it. They did Gallivant on ABC, Ascension on Sci-Fi Channel. The miniseries is back in a big way, and people are looking at them for what they're doing. They networks and studios like them because what they do is they're kind of like a big fireworks display to tell people, hey, we're over here, and they're to attract new viewers and attention to their network. That's why networks run a miniseries program or an event series like that. And they are that fulfilled gaps in the programming schedule very well for people, as we were hearing in the meetings at a couple of networks, and how they strategically use these things to bridge the summer season and the spring seasons and things like that. The programming talk, as we call it out here, and it seems to be the way it goes. Some people want the big period pieces and big set pieces, and some people want more contemporary thrillers and science fiction and things like that. But no matter what genre, it seems like the demand is there in a big way. They make good binge viewing. They make good binge viewing.
They do.
As a viewer, speaking as a viewer, you know.
But it also affects the storytelling. And Craig, you'll like this. I actually made it an example of what would have made a good limited series, so that it was tied up in a prettier bow with a bow, or at least in, in a better storytelling story. Would have been Lost. It'd probably been better as a limited series.
Yes, yes, with a better ending.
Yes, where they didn't
with just
have
a totally different better ending.
what did you think about the ending, Craig?
You know, I was in between. Yeah, I was mixed emotions.
Yeah, he's still very angry.
Well, and I do want to address, while we're talking about this, because one of the projects we were pitching in a couple of the meetings over this past week, to assuage the fears of any of your listeners, we are pitching so many Chicago-centric projects that hopefully our goal is to bring a lot of film, potentially film and television jobs, you know, with a couple of these projects that we sell if we wind up getting a green light, so that we are actually working, you know, the work that Patty would be doing and I would be out there, we would be in Chicago producing a couple of these TV series and or feature films. So that
almost everything I write, everything that I bring to Kevin, I mean, even if even our Vegas show starts out in Chicago, yeah, everything I do has a Chicago element to it. It's always characters who, you know, live in Chicago, work in Chicago, were born in Chicago. It's always, and you drove me crazy in our meetings today where you're like, Philadelphia is the new Chicago. Hey, why don't we stop highlighting other cities and stick with my hometown? Because I do.
That was just one best-selling book that we had, so we had to talk about Philadelphia. But Chicago is the center of the universe for us, always will be.
Chicago is the center of my universe. It just is. I love that Chicago Fire, Chicago PD have done such a great job of using Chicago not just as a backdrop, but as a character, you know, really integral to the storytelling. And that's what I like to bring out in our scripts as well. You know, we have one that's located on our lakefront, and that's been one of my favorite things to tell people about. So it's been a lot of fun. And we get a good response, too.
Mm-hmm. How cool is it when we run into TV or network or studio executives from Chicago, and there's a lot of them out there. Huh?
Oh, their eyes light up. Well, the one guy we had today was really in for a penny, in for a pound one of our stories about Chicago, and that was thrilling because his brother had gone to Notre Dame, so he had spent some fun weekends in Chicago in between those trips. So he knew the city, you know, as a fun place, and sometimes he seemed to be intrigued by that. So. Whenever there's something in Chicago, I think that a lot of us, we just love seeing our city on the big screen. I'm sure that's anywhere you go. But there are some movies. Return to Me was a movie I liked. Do you remember that with Minnie Driver
David Duchovny?
Yes.
What a wonderful film.
And it was such a beautiful just sort of postcard of Chicago. It had such great elements from the zoo and the skyline and even Twin Anchors, which was the restaurant that Robert Loggia and who played her dad? Wasn't it what's his name? It was Archie Bunker played her dad, didn't he? I want to say that it was
I believe it was Carol O'Connor. That's right.
The Irish bar
owner.
It was an Irish-Italian restaurant, I think, is what the Twin Anchors was sort of being the character for. Kevin, I want to thank you so much for this these last 9 days of great meetings in Los Angeles and for making this all happen. And again, I want the listeners to know I'm coming back, and I love being able to do this from L.A., but my goal is to do projects that are TV and film-based in Chicago. So that's why I keep coming out here, is to drive more work back home where, you know, it's a great opportunity. So Kevin, this is it. I will see you. It's weird. We're not seeing each other right now, but,
I know. This is the first time I haven't driven you to the airport, you know, when you leave. So it's, we're breaking schedules and traditions and things like that for us, but it was a great trip. You kicked butt and took names, and as always, we're great. And now we just have to kind of knock wood and see what happens, say out here in Hollywood.
We'll keep hammering away at it because the other big picture for me is to provide for my kids, in particular Declan. That's really why I work so hard toward this, is because my son Declan, who has autism, will need care for the rest of his life, and I'm trying to do something that will provide the top-notch care for him, and so that Griffin doesn't have to carry that burden. Not a burden, but you know what I mean, so that he can rest assured that his brother's taken care of. More after this on 720 WGN. Thank you again, Kevin. I'm pretty
thank late. You.
Thank you for listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and I'm broadcasting from Los Angeles for my last night before I head back, and I'm happy to be coming home. I am a little bit sad to be leaving Los Angeles. In particular, I've been having a lot of fun hanging out with some really wonderful people, including Yenny Alvarez and our travel guru, Mark DiCarlo, who joins us on the line from about 10 feet away from me in his living room. Hey, Mark, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, Patty. How are you? Haven't seen you in almost 14 seconds.
I know. I have to say, this is my favorite way of doing my radio show, is in your home and in different rooms while talking to you.
I got the fireplace going here. I'm watching a little hockey on TV, listening to you through the wall. It's heaven.
Am I too loud? I could keep it down in here if you need me to.
No, you're doing fine. All Chicago has to hear you. Far be it for me to put my needs over the entire city of Chicago, please.
Well, and I have to tell you, we got a very positive response to both your appearance on the show last week and your wife, Yenny. People wanted you to scare her again on the air. I don't think that that's something that she would appreciate. But I do think there's a reality series here, and I think like Surviving DiCarlo, I think, would probably be the show.
You didn't actually physically see her get scared. Not only does it sound funny, which I know your audience can attest to, but she waves her little arms like a scared bunny would. If it was sitting up on its haunches and maybe holding a pen or a cup of coffee. I never do it unsafely. Never when she's holding coffee or scissors or anything that could fall and break. I'm very conscientious.
Okay. Very good. That's very kind of you.
I do what I do.
I'm concerned about her well-being, but she seems to be holding up very well.
Well, she's not a hamster.
She's not. She won't die like a hamster. I'm hoping. I'm hoping she doesn't. No, I don't think so either. We should probably explain that. She had read a study that when you scare a hamster, they can die of a heart attack. And you and I were trying to explain to her that she's not a hamster.
Right. She has, as far as we know, a human heart.
Yes, a human heart.
We do animal testing for some stuff to see how it relates to humans. So who knows what level to which Yenny would need to be afraid. But it could happen. Mark could kill her through fear. Maybe.
Well, that's certainly not the intent. And also, certain animals are more or less like humans. Like if it was a rat or like a lab rat and they were having problems being scared and dying, then I would probably think twice about scaring her, because I know humans are very similar to mice and rats in their makeup. But a hamster, come on.
Got it. So what you're saying is I need to do a study on rats to try to fear them into death.
You know what? I would support that.
Okay, cool.
How would you scare a rat, though?
I don't know. That's a really good question.
They're so scary. I'm too scared to scare a rat.
You know what would be great? You make like a little puppet that looks like a piece of cheese, and then as the rats get close to it, you open up your hand and you make them think that their food's going to eat them.
Oh, like a possessed
them, huh?
demonic cheese.
Patty, do you think that Mark is maybe our scare expert, our fear expert, and not just our travel expert?
He might be our fear expert.
Yes, if people are looking for a cool way to scare their spouse, maybe you have a birthday or something coming up, I would love to counsel you on that. Because there's a lot of finer points to it.
Yeah, I think that that's a spectacular idea. Mm-hmm. We can all learn a little something.
If you don't have someone doing that already for the show.
No, I believe that you would occupy that space singularly.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I like that. I do want to encourage our listeners. I have some questions for you, but I don't want to hog you as I have been for the last week, actually, because you're very generous with your time. 312-981-7200 if you have a question for our travel guru, Mark DiCarlo, and you can text us to the same number if you want to just...
Patty, we did just get a text in from the 312. With St. Patrick's Day coming up, how would I scare my spouse in a theme that would relate to St. Patrick's Day, Mark?
Oh, it's St. Patrick's theme. That's interesting. Well, it's easier if I can talk to them, because I need to ask them some questions. Are they going to be drinking at home? Are they going to be at a party? You know, it'd be cool to get some paint and paint your teeth lime green, but don't let her see them until maybe take a sip of beer and go, this doesn't taste quite right. And then you you know, smile at her and let her see the green teeth and see if that would freak her out.
I like that. I think that's, he's really good. You are a guru.
Or you get like a synthetic mouse tail and you hide that in your mouth and you take a sip of beer and you go, oh my God, there was something in there. You open it up and let the tail pop out of your mouth like you've eaten.
Wow. Craig, you have to admit these are pretty good.
This is really good. From the 773, Mark, do you recommend YouTube videos being posted when you scare someone that you love, or is that too far?
Oh, videotaping
no,
it and then
I
sharing
think
it with the world?
Then you're mocking them in front of the whole world. It's much more, I think, loving to mock them one-on-one, alone.
Yes. Terror should be an intimate experience.
Right. However, if that guy does, please send me the link. I'd love to see it.
Oh, man.
I mean, I'm not condoning it, but I'm certainly not going to look the other way if it's actually available to me.
All right. This is excellent. I think that we're off to a good start here with our travel/scare segment with our guru, Mark DiCarlo. I think we can go back and forth because I do have questions, some travel questions. I am finally planning to take my family to Disney World. Are you? Do you feel well-versed in the universe of making plans for Disney?
Yes. Are you sold on Disney World over Disneyland?
Yeah, my mom really wants to take the boys to Disney World. This is something that she really has had her heart set on. Do you think that Disneyland is more consumable, or is that because you're going to let us stay at your place?
You certainly would be welcome here. I mean, Disneyland obviously was built before Disney World.
Uh-huh.
There's California Adventure Park next to it now that's kind of a little more Six Flaggy, but not much for a Disney park. And, you know, it's the original. So, plus there's other things to do here in California. The only other thing to do in Orlando is you go to Universal Studios, of which there's one here, but there's a lot more to do in California.
Plus I can go to work.
Is, I think
my,
in Central Florida. Unless she already lives there.
No, my mom, she lives downstairs from us in Chicago. So
then come to California. You do that, you can go to the beach, you can go to the mountains, you could do the Hollywood thing.
I think
they can't hear us in Florida, can they, right now?
No. Yes. Yes, they can.
Yes, they can.
Yes, they can.
Oh, it's just such a boring, flat city, Orlando. It is. Outside of the stuff that was built there, you know, the entertainment stuff, there's really nothing else to do.
But for kids, I mean, because Griffin, I think, has his heart set on going to see the Harry Potter stuff.
Oh, and that's already up and running down there, huh?
Yeah. They don't have that here in California, do they?
They're building it, but it's not done. Well, then, you know what? You go down there and you do that, and then you get out of town as fast as you possibly can.
Well, and that's okay. So Craig, I'm going to need to podcast this. I mean, like just Mark DiCarlo saying, get in and get out. My mom seems to want to go for more than a week to Orlando.
And go to the amusement parks every day?
I don't know what she's envisioning. I know my husband is having the same problem because
you know
really
what is cool down there. It's not quite in Orlando. It's about an hour away. But the Kennedy Space Center is in Cape Canaveral. Kennedy Space Center. It's been there since the '60s. It's where they launched all of the moon rockets from. It's where they launched Mercury and Apollo and Gemini and space shuttle. And we were there a month ago, and it was awesome. If you have any desire at all to learn about the American Space Program, which was, I think, the best thing this country's done in the last 150 years, it's a great museum. They have a fully operational Saturn V rocket there that's like the size of it's a giant building. They have replicas of all the old rockets. They have lots of historical stuff, and it was really interesting. Loved it.
Okay. Oh, cool! That sounds like something we can combine with everything down in Orlando. Then that's a good idea. I like that. And you're right. The Harry Potter theme park at Universal in California opens in 2016, but I'm not sure. They don't have an exact date. I mean, my mom really wants to take the boys, and I don't want to. I keep putting her off because I think I've told Craig this. My son Griffin refuses to lose time at school. He has perfect attendance and has since he was in first grade. Are there good times to go if you're not willing to pull your kids out of school for Disney World?
Wait a minute. Whoa.
I know.
How old?
He's 11 now, yes.
He's 11, and he doesn't want to go to Disneyland because he doesn't want to skip school?
Yes. He has had perfect
attendance. Are you kidding me?
I am not kidding you. I have not been able to.
Have you taken him to a doctor to be checked?
Mark, when he was in kindergarten, he missed one day of school because he actually got a part in a Walmart commercial. And please don't make me retell this story, because he got the part and I was not cast as his mother because I did not look like his mom. they just asked me to bring a kid to the audition and they took my son as the lead. But he missed a day at school. And at the end of the year, they have that a big award ceremony. And he was so heartbroken. And I said, sweetie, it's because you did that Walmart commercial. And he goes, I want perfect attendance. And I said, we are not perfect attendance people. And he has proven me wrong every single year.
Oh, no.
Yes. Yep.
Doesn't he know that school is for suckers?
No. He loves
school. Yes, especially grade school.
I can't.
Did they ever ask you, did you go to grade school in a job interview? Of course not. You should be going. You should force him to go to Disneyland.
That's a great point. No one ever goes over your grade school.
What did you learn in seventh grade? Never have gotten that question.
Yeah, you don't have to apply to get into a lot of high schools with your transcript or anything like that. I think it'll be okay.
That's not the issue. The issue is you're never going to be questioned about it.
real quick from the 847, yes. Mark, I'm taking a long international flight in a few days. Just a question, how would I scare my wife on the plane so not to get in trouble with the staff?
Oh, I love our listeners. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I love that our listeners are combining your master skills of both being our scare guru and our travel guru. So
it's like
yes,
a tasty
please.
Gumbo of my skills. Yes.
Yes.
Wow. First of all, you have to be able to you have to be open to the risk of actually causing a stir with the flight attendants to really do something great. I'm going to tell you this, and I don't know. I think you got to do it. It's an international flight. You want to do it when everyone's awake and there's still some hustle and bustle in the cabin. Okay?
Okay.
When your wife goes to the bathroom, you let her go to the bathroom. She closes and locks the door. There's a way that from the outside of the bathroom, you can unlock the door on airplanes.
No.
It allows you, because there has to be an emergency hack so that if someone passes out or something in the bathroom, the flight attendants can unlock the door without breaking it down, right?
Okay.
So I'm going to tell you how that does, how you can do that. And then you unlock, you know, you wait, you count, give her like 30 seconds, maybe a minute, so that she can actually sit down, and mm-hmm. then open the door, unlock the door, and yank it open.
Oh, no. Yeah, but they're...
It's important that you do it from behind the door so that she has no idea who's doing it, or she'll kill you when you land.
Oh, no. This sounds... Craig, is that does that sound like something you would like to do to Betty?
No, I don't think so, but it's a great idea. It's a great... I will be killed,
I'm not recommending it.
Yeah.
I'm not recommending it. He's coming up with an idea. Since I would never have the guts to try it on my wife, I think...
Right, because you would be,
do
you'd
it.
Be killed.
I can hear about it.
Wow.
Can you imagine me doing that to Yanny on an airplane?
Oh, I think that they would have to force land the plane because you would be injured and need medical yep. attention immediately.
If you want to go for something slightly less dramatic on the airplane, you can recline your seat, and as soon as you start to move back, start screaming in pain like something is caught in between the seat, and that works.
Okay. I think these are good suggestions we've got for our listener who wanted to combine Mark DiCarlo's master of mastery of the knowledge of travel and scare tactics. If you have a question for our guru, 312-981-7200. You can call or text 312-981-7200. More with our guru, Mark DiCarlo, after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. I think I should let Mark DiCarlo know why I had to go back. We have a listener who has texted me and asked several times to make sure I say jewelry and not jewelry. So every time I see the word now, I trip myself up and go, did I say it the right way? Well, I'm going to go back and just say it correctly.
I thought you were saying there's only one Jewish guy who can make this pendant just like this.
No, jewelry. Yeah, it's hard because if you've been saying it one way your entire life, to
right.
Make sure that you adjust it's an adjustment. That's all.
Patty,
but
we have another text
message. You paint, Patty. I saw it sparkling before my eyes.
I know. It's
I did
it's
too.
A pendant. Thank you.
Yeah, you're an artist.
From the 773, Mark, a question about the TSA.
Do people don't even pick up the phone anymore? They can't be bothered to pick up the phone and wait to talk to me? They're just texting me like they're ordering a pizza? I'm a professional. People, like, pick up the phone. If you want to talk to me, pick up the phone so that we can chat. I'm not.
Also, we really appreciate your texts. 312-981-7200.
It sounds like we do.
Yes.
That definitely sounds like we do.
We really appreciate that.
All right, fine. I'll go ahead.
You'll indulge them? From the 773, a question about the TSA, Mark. Would you recommend getting them involved in scaring your spouse?
Absolutely. Those people have the greatest senses of humor. You know what's funny? Get yourself one of those chocolate handguns and wrap it in metal. Put it in your pants and go through the TSA. No, don't be an idiot. Of course not. Those people are serious. You don't get them involved in the scaring. That's the one. That's the hardest. For me, the temptation to make a joke there is so strong because it's such a bad idea. Do you have that, Patty? Is it? You're like, oh my God. This would be the best place to do something funny.
I'm sorry.
To make jokes. So Nick, our traffic guru. I think everyone should just be a guru tonight. But Nick is a TSA agent as well as being our traffic reporter. Nick, is it ill-advised to engage TSA to help you scare a spouse?
Yes. Because they will really scare her, and she'll never fly ever again. She'll be taking a train, and you'll hate it.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't mess with those guys. They don't really have senses of humor. You can't even say funny stuff. Oh. They just look at you.
It's so hard because there's so many positions, and you are correct. And just me talking about it, I might have to take all of yous out. I'm not sure.
Oh, all of us.
All of
us. That's so Chicago. I got to take all of yous out.
All of yous. Take you over there, and you're not going to get on the plane. You're not going to go nowhere. All right. How funny is that, big guy guru, huh?
Hey, I gotcha.
Wow.
But let me tell you, speaking of the TSA, the best $100 you will ever spend
pre-check.
Is getting the global entry and the TSA pre-check.
You are correct. Pre-check. Global pre-check. Entry is awesome. It's the ID to end all IDs.
Yeah.
Is global entry, is that a yearly fee, $100, or is that just one and done?
One and done.
Really?
And you know what else? I don't want to disparage the TSA, but another reason I love doing it is because then you only go through the old school metal detector. You don't have to stand in that thing and put your hands up like you're a criminal. That bothers me.
Yeah.
So it would put me in a bad mood every time I got on a plane.
We prefer.
I get there are reasons for it, but it's a great $100 to spend.
We prefer Ballerina.
Ballerina?
You know, when you
put your hands up like a ballerina.
Exactly.
It's like, this is America, and you're innocent until proven guilty. And basically, they ask you to go in that thing and assume the position of a criminal, and that irked me. So I'm glad there's a workaround so that we can all be friends.
Yeah, so Google Global Entry or TSA PreCheck, and you'll get the websites for how to go through that process. I know that I keep meaning to, and you have to go in. You have to go into this office.
You have to make an appointment, and then it takes a while. So you should, you got to be working 2 or 3 months ahead of when you need it.
I do.
At the least.
You know, they randomly choose people to get PreCheck. I thought that I got randomly chosen a few times. I was like, oh, apparently I just got PreCheck, but it really is just random. It's not you don't automatically get it. You have to go through the whole process, as Mark was saying.
One more quick question via text, Mark, mm-hmm. if that's okay, from the 815. Ideas for solo travelers with or without single supplements. What's your thought?
Without what?
Single supplements is apparently a term. I don't know.
Yeah, what is single supplement?
I Googled it. It's something
if you want to go on a trip, it always says double occupancy.
Oh, okay.
You can go on a trip and for like an extra small fee, they'll match you up with somebody.
Oh, interesting.
I believe that's what he means. And, like in your cabin or on your, like on a package trip. I don't know, to me, I think that's crazy. You might get lucky and meet somebody that you like. Otherwise, you're sharing a tiny little room with just some dweeb.
Yeah, that would be weird. I mean, because you're taking a gamble on someone you're going to be traveling with. That seems, especially if you've
right.
been planning for this trip for a long time. And if it's
saving your money. I know you want to save the money, but, penny wise, pound foolish.
Right. Yeah. So
also, you could, unless it's like a singles trip. And then,
right.
why not?
Well, I mean, although there are people who are more adventurous, I think it depends on your personal, you know, your take on the world and how you want to experience that. If you're up for meeting strangers and hanging out with them and sharing a room with them, it's like youth hostels are the same way, don't you think? Where, you know, you might be in a huge room of bunk beds and with strange people from all over the world, and maybe you're adventurous and that's cool and you get to have this new experience. Airbnbs are the same way. You can share a room in a house or get the whole house, but it depends on your level of comfortability with strangers and new people.
Quick follow-up.
You're right. It's all about the comfortability.
Quick follow-up from the 815, and would you recommend scaring the stranger when you first meet them to break the ice?
Yeah, you know what? It sets the bar. I like it. Keeps them on their toes. I don't think there's church is a great place to scare people. TSA, we've established, is a bad place to scare people. But basically, if you wanted to graph it, the more inappropriate the location, the better choice it is to scare people there because they're not expecting it. Worst place is the haunted house. You're expecting it. You're walking in the door knowing you're going to be scared.
Right.
Where's the excitement?
Yeah, no, that's it's like throwing a bucket of water in the ocean.
It is. Although, I mean, not to pat myself on the back, every time Yenny walks into our house, she knows there's a potential to be scared, yet I'm still able to scare her. I'm that good.
All right. Yes, you're very talented in many ways, and people can find out more about you by following you on Twitter. What's your Twitter handle?
I'm at Mark DiCarlo on Twitter and Mark DiCarlo TV on Instagram. I'm going to be developing a cloaking device so I can actually make myself invisible, and that will be that'll be the first scare video that I post.
I think that's a brilliant idea. And also, people can find you Fork on the Road, yes?
ForkOnTheRoadShow.com. That's where Yenny and I do a show together, and they're all right there. Big stars, Sylvester Stallone, Robert De Niro, everybody.
Some good stuff. You've got like 750,000 followers on your little podcasty thing.
I do, and I've never shared these spectacular scaring secrets with them. I save that just for my hometown folks in Chicago on Patty's show.
Well, thank you so much.
I'd never tell Cochran this stuff.
I know.
He wouldn't respect it.
And he can't handle it either. It's like the truth. He can't handle it.
No. He's gotten too big for his britches. He wouldn't understand scaring. 2 years ago, sure, he gets it. Not
right,
anymore.
But now it's beneath him.
Well, with the posse and the people and the Mr. Cochran will see you now stuff.
It's not him. By the way, can I just let people know we're kidding in case they get all upset with us? Sometimes you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised when people take things very seriously.
Can you picture Steve going Hollywood? I think that would be hilarious.
I know. He would never go Hollywood. He goes Chicago. Thank you so much, Mark DiCarlo. We will talk to you again next week on Tuesdays with our travel guru, Mark DiCarlo.
It's been a joy having you here, Patty. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. I'm going to miss you. Do we have a break? Do we have a break here, Craig, or are we going right to the news?
We got a break.
Let's go to the break, and then we'll go to the news after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late, and I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from Los Angeles. And one of the things that I missed today was a competition featuring one of our very favorite guests. And we have on the line with us Carissa Schaefer, one of the owners of Knife and Tine, and her someone who calls herself the baby bartender at Knife and Tine, Nikki Allen, was competing in the Bitter End, it was Guinness's Bitter End cocktail competition. Am I getting the name
right,
Carissa?
Yeah, for a liquor lab.
Mm-hmm. For the liquor lab.
Put on the competition. So,
and how many bartenders were participating in this competition?
There was like 70 that actually participated. So,
and this started earlier in the day. About 5:30 today? You guys all were kind of descending upon the liquor lab.
It started at 5, and it actually she was one of 70. And then they put it down to 16. And so that was it was kind of like a college draft sort of thing.
Sort of a college what sort of thing?
Draft sort of thing. So it went from 16 down to 8, down to 4, ooh, down to 2, down to 1.
Oh, wow. So out of 70, when it whittled it down, now, what do they start out doing? Do they have like have a certain amount of ingredients they have to use? Did she come knowing what she wanted to make? How does this work?
Well, it started with them wanting to have her create a cocktail with Guinness. So she sat there and said, okay, what can I do with Guinness? And Guinness is kind of bitter. You know, she had just gotten back from Ireland, so kind of worked with it and had put together a little bit of Madeira and a bitter, like chocolate Aztec bitters, and had put together some, you know, maraschino cherries and some vanilla ice cream. And she got it from actually like a local Black Dog gelato. I don't know if you've ever heard of them, but they have amazing ice cream. So she put together the whole cocktail, and everybody loved it. It was fantastic. She rocked it out, and she was so nervous, like our baby bartender. She was so nervous. But she came in second place out of everybody. So she actually killed it. She really did.
That's amazing. And here's what's amazing about that, too, is that she never bartended until she started working with you. Is that right?
Correct.
Wow.
But we've given her a lot of direction and have let her go to a lot of classes and a lot of things. And, yeah, she's super excited about it.
And because, you know, I was thinking about this today when I saw, because I had asked you guys to post updates, and I think that Nikki's aunt or one of her relatives was posting a few photos as the heats kind of broke down and she'd gotten to the top four. But one of the things I was thinking about is that in contrast to a lot of the places you go for a cocktail, because I've been going to some LA spots that kind of reminded me a little bit of Knife and Tine. I kind of found my my LA Knife and Tine here. It's more of a Mexican. It's not the Americana you know specialties that you guys have. A place called Mercado, and I was looking at all that they do. What you do is, which is having a lot of fresh ingredients on hand, really quality liquors and liqueurs. What made you decide to do that when you opened Knife and Tine? You know,
well, we wanted to have an amazing like cocktail list, and so you don't want to use like crappy ingredients. You just don't want to do that. You want to have things that are really like new and seasonal and amazing, and like let your bartenders play and get inspired. And so that's what we really tried to do. So.
That's a good way to put it, is that your bartenders are kind of inspired because they have so many fresh ingredients and specialty liquors on hand that they kind of want to know, you know, they want to see what does this do almost. They're kind of like they're mad scientists behind the bar sometimes.
Absolutely. And the beautiful part about Nicole just winning or getting second place in this competition is that Liquor Lab is a new thing to Chicago, but she has a life. Now that she's been one of the 16, she gets a life membership to the club.
Oh, which very means cool.
She gets to make bitters. She gets to play there. She gets to play with, like, any cocktail she wants to play with from now on.
Well, we look forward to enjoying some of that both at your restaurant at Knife and Tine. And, again, a couple more days left, I guess, for people to try Patty's Poison. Is that still on the menu?
Yeah, until the 7th. Duh. Yeah, we're getting ready to make the big contribution to you. I think it's actually grown so much, you're going to be surprised how much we're donating to you.
This is for the Fight for Air Climb. Check out Knife and Tine. They're at, I'm going to get this wrong. Hold on, 1417 Fullerton Avenue?
You got it. Yay.
That's because I miss it. I miss your faces and your wonderful food. And again, Patty's Poison, they're contributing a portion of the proceeds to the Fight for Air Climb, which is coming up this Sunday. And thank you again for that. And congratulations to Nikki Allen, who has called herself a baby bartender. And as I said on Facebook, I believe it's now badass bartender is what we're going to go with.
So. Yep, she is a badass bartender for sure.
Go check out Knife and Tine. And Carissa, and have a wonderful evening. And thank you so much for joining us pretty late.
No, thank you, Patty.
Of course, always. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and I have I for the first time ever decided to try out Airbnb, and I think that there's some things online that sometimes you're a little afraid to try out, and you hear horror stories. I know with Airbnb, there have been stories about people squatting, and how do you regulate that kind of thing. And years ago, I was selling my my strollers, and I decided to put them on Craigslist. And when I did that, I got a little bit nervous, Craig, how do I then make the exchange, and how do I do that safely? Have you ever bought anything on Craigslist, Craig?
No. I steer clear of the Craigslist. I buy things online from like Amazon, but I don't, because of this issue, I don't trust the safety of the strangers.
Right. So what I, right. Plus there have been some really
bad stories. Although I did sell tickets a couple times. I sold stuff to other humans. So, but I met them at the concert venue. So I didn't think that they'd murder me there.
Right. Right. That's the thing is you chose a public location.
Right.
Isn't it weird that we have to, it's weird that we have to think that way, but it's also smart. I mean, your instincts are telling you to be careful, and why not listen to your gut?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Once those stories first started coming out and they made sense that you have no way to screen or know the people that you're buying things from online,
yes.
A bad person would probably want to solicit people this way. So
well,
yeah, there's definitely concern.
Lure you out. So I sold my stroller and I told the person to meet me at the, it's such a strange place to tell someone to meet you, but at the American Science Surplus Store at Milwaukee and Northwest Highway and Foster right there. I chose it as a place that's kind of, it has a lot of traffic. There's a lot of people in that little strip mall area. And I just figured, I don't know why I chose that. I just, the people know where it is kind of on the Northwest side of Chicago. And I was like, meet me. And I did it twice. I sold two strollers on Craigslist, and I both times told them to meet me at the right in front of the American Surplus. I don't know why.
That's the thing about selling something, at least if you can pick a public spot. But usually when you're the buyer, you have to go where the seller is. So
right.
That's why you've never bought anything on Craigslist, or have you bought as well?
I don't know. I've never. Oh, no, I have. It is weird. Oh, wait.
Yeah.
I bought like this spinny garden, like spinny toy for the boys, an outdoor toy that it was kind of like a weird. I can't explain it. It spun. That's all I can tell you. Yeah, I had to go to this woman's house. That's right. That is weird. Why did I go there? Oh, I don't know what I was doing. But there's a is it Naperville that has come up with a solution for people who are afraid to buy things?
The Naperville police have announced that they are willing to let any Craigslist buyer or seller use the lobby of their police stations as a place to actually do the exchange.
Oh, that is very cool.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what compelled them to do that. Do you think there are people calling the police station and saying, "I'm too afraid to buy something on Craigslist. Can you make it safe for me?" I mean, what?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I know that this is one of the most common internet-related dangers, is that when you're using the internet, especially on Craigslist, you are going to get robbed at the absolute least to something much worse than that if there is something bad that happens. So I don't know. I think that Naperville was just taking a proactive step and offering something. I don't think anyone will rob you at the police station. I think that's probably a safe place to conduct your business compared to anywhere else.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good call.
It is a good call. Better, right. Err on the side of caution.
And if the other person won't go to the police station, that's probably a good cue that you don't want to deal with whatever they're doing.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. You
meet me at the police station. I don't think so. Can't get in there.
Yeah. And then you send their name to the police station.
Exactly.
Say, this guy wouldn't meet me at the police station.
Right. You should check this
312.
Out.
I want to know if anyone's ever had a strange experience selling or buying on Craigslist. 312-981-7200. Again, that's 312-981-7200. It's a weird thing. This goes back to what we were talking to Mark DiCarlo about, which is, I guess it depends on your level of comfort with this sort of you have to kind of look at things as an adventure, I guess, sometimes. A lot of people look at it as a business exchange, and this is, where we live in this, society where this is how transactions are done sometimes. But I think that I really think you should be careful.
Yeah.
And if it means meeting at the American Science Surplus Store or the police station.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's interesting. I doubt that a large majority of sales on Craigslist have this problem. I would assume that it's a very small percentage of the actual business that they do, because they have so many postings, so many things for sale every single day, that I doubt there's a large amount of, bad things that happen. But still, it's nice to have this as a backup. If you don't like the first email that maybe you exchange with someone, just tell them to go to the police station.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
That'd be good.
Yeah, go to the police station. Meet you at the police.
Right.
Why do you got to go to the police station? Why you got to
Well, you don't trust me? Come on, man.
Do you think that people get to... Right? Oh, isn't that... That would be weird if people got defensive.
Defensive about it.
And got kind of like confrontation. Yeah.
Let's just meet in that back alley.
I don't know why I had a voice.
To go to. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, don't go to a secondary location.
No, never go to a second location. You've learned that the hard way.
I have learned that. That was with the golf cart, the parking structure. That was very strange. Such a strange experience. No, I'll buy things on eBay, and I guess you can also, you know, on eBay you can also pick things up if it's local too. And
from the 773,
that seems to have maybe some.
Oh yeah, so
yes.
Well, from the 773, answering an ad for an escort on Craigslist and meeting at the police station probably won't work though. So I need other solutions. No. Thank you, 773.
Yeah,
those are probably not the ads we're talking about. Probably not.
I do like that you put that on. I like that you put that in the universe for us to know about, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're welcome, 773 and me, for reading it. But yeah.
No, not you. I'm saying them. I'm
right.
You know, sometimes people have things in their mind.
So I will forward. I will forward this text to the police station, and then we'll just go from there.
And we don't want anyone to feel. See, I don't want the people to feel unsafe sending us texts.
No, I was kidding.
I know, I am too. I won't, by the way, speaking of kidding, I know that one of our listeners was disappointed with Mark for yelling at people for not calling. And I explained to Mark that it is late and maybe people text because maybe they don't want to wake somebody up in the house. And there's a stealthiness to texting. But we also do like hearing from you. 312-981-7200. The thing about Craigslist, it isn't such a great way of getting things inexpensively,
yeah,
and making a little bit of money off of something you don't need anymore. That, but you know, it's certainly a step up from a garage sale. I mean, that's where you go to someone's home and you're just sort of poking through there. Have you ever gone to a garage sale and sort of wandered off the path of the actual what things are for sale and wanted to buy something that was actually they didn't want to sell?
Like, that's, if they're selling things in the front yard, too. Wandered to the backyard and tried to buy like the swing set or something. It's a good approach. Oh, we got
exactly.
Steve on the line too. He's got some comments on this. Steve from
absolutely. Yep. Hey, Steve, what's up?
Well, my wife exchanges stuff all the time via internet, but they meet in store parking lots.
Yes, that makes sense, doesn't it? Do you feel safe when she does that? Does that seem like a safer form of conducting business, is to do it in a public parking lot? Okay. Am I still on?
I don't know, Steve. Yeah, yes, you are. Steve is also on, but I don't know.
Okay.
I guess he's done. Maybe someone just got him. Maybe a Craigslist person just got him.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's not good.
He should have called us from a public parking lot. Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, but that's the point he was trying to make, is that his wife. But that's when you're in control as the seller. If you're the buyer, you usually have to pick where to go. So I think that's what Naperville is trying to help with.
Yes. I mean, yeah, when you're the buyer, you are at mercy seems to be kind of the wrong way to put it. Yeah, that kind of lends itself to the scary scenario that we're depicting for people.
Right.
And look, they're, you know, for the most part, it's been a very good experience for people. By the way, speaking of conveniences and the way technology has changed the way we do business, there is a much more contentious relationship between Uber and Lyft out here, by the way. I know we talk
like
about Uber a lot at home. Yeah, I mean, and not only that, but they apparently fight for customers. They fight for drivers. I had one driver who drove for both, so he could switch back and forth between depending on where the pickup was and things like that. Lyft isn't. I just find that the app isn't as convenient, but there's a real negative impression of Uber out here in Los Angeles, which I thought was very interesting. And you know, it hasn't really gotten to that point in Chicago. I think Uber has been out here longer, and so they kind of developed this cynical attitude toward it, which I think is fine. I mean, you know, I'm all for figuring out which is the best service. I still have a hard time not using cabs because it is so much more affordable to use Uber, but you know, they do it at the expense of cabbies who can't make their ends meet because they're losing so much business. I don't know. It's just one of those things too. And also I get nervous. It is like Craigslist where, you know, Naperville police can't be at every Uber pickup.
Right. You can't get a police officer in every single car with you. That would be nice though. Mm-hmm. If Naperville could offer that service, I think that would go a long way. More people would try the Uber and the Lyft and all those if they could just ride with a police officer.
Right. I think that would help out a lot. I think that's very cost effective.
I think we should make that as a
business model.
If you're a police officer that's off duty, just go ahead and sign up for Uber and pick someone up in your squad car. I think that makes sense and just drive them to their location.
This is a fantastic solution. I like that.
Right.
This is real. I think that I would like to create an app that's all off-duty police officers giving you a ride somewhere.
Officer
See,
Uber.
Now that is Officer Uber.
Yeah, I like
Officer
that a lot.
Lyft.
Yeah, Officer Lyft.
I like that.
Nice.
This is fantastic.
You got ideas, Patty.
I like
Patty.
This business model.
All right,
yeah,
let's,
you got that's some.
We can take yes. a break here let's, and then let's figure that out.
Drop. All right, let's drop the business plan. I'll get yep. a lawyer on this to bring up the contract. After this on 720 WGN. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and I'm excited to get back to Chicago tomorrow. Craig, is it? Do you feel the energy from the mayoral election, the race now that it's a heated battle, and some polling saying that it's a dead even heat? Are you? Can you taste it in the air?
I don't know if I'm being biased, but I think Chuy García supporters are a lot more excited. Whenever I walk down the street and someone seems very excited, and I feel that energy, they wind up being a supporter of Chuy.
Really?
Yeah, just from what I've noticed. I don't know if that's unique to me. But that group seems to be a little bit more excited about all this.
Yeah, because if Rahm Emanuel is your guy, I guess it's hard to get fired up about somebody that has sort of a negative persona. Not negative persona, but people have a negative impression of him. And but that doesn't mean he's isn't running the city the best was the best that can be done. I did see that our credit rating has taken a hit.
Yeah,
I don't know what
good.
That's gonna. No, it's not good. No. And then you sent me a story about the work being done on Wrigley Field. That there's they want to try to start working 24 hours around the clock in order to get the stadium ready for opening day. And Rahm Emanuel has said that that's not okay. It's against the law.
Yeah,
actually,
he said that's a no-go. There's already a law on the books. Can't do it.
And I know that the people who live in Wrigleyville probably don't want work going on 24 hours a day. And here's my question. Would you rather spend 24 hours a day for a short amount of time or continue to let it stretch out and affect opening day so that, I think that you kind of have to kind of pick your battle there.
I'm guessing that a lot of people that live in the apartments in Wrigleyville are Cubs fans. I don't know. I'm going to go out on a limb here and assume.
Why would you live there if you weren't? Wow.
The people that close to the stadium are probably Cubs fans. So, yeah, I think they wouldn't be upset. They'd be okay with it. Although, I don't know how loud that construction is. If it kept me awake, I'd want them to stop.
Yeah. Hey, can we see how loud it's going to be first?
Right. Can we test it for a night and have everybody call us and see if they're upset?
And we'll let you know if that's going to work out for us. But I think that saying that you don't want Wrigley Field, I mean, basically he's saying he doesn't want Wrigley Field to be done on time. I mean, I know that's not what he didn't actually say it.
Right.
But in essence, not allowing them to work to get it done is saying I don't care.
Oh, there's no way it's going to be finished on time, it seems like. I don't even know if they worked around the clock, they would have been able to do it. They're so far behind that. I don't know. I don't know how you fix this now. Can the Cubs play somewhere else for a little while? Are they allowed to play some of their games at, like, DePaul?
Lane Tech isn't that far.
Yeah, it's pretty close.
Yeah. And
right.
Wow. Are these pictures current, these images of Wrigley that are in this article? Wow. They got a long way to go.
Things are not going well.
No, and here's the other thing is you don't really want to quicken construction. That sounds like a recipe for disaster. I kind of want them to take their time and get things done right. Not take their time.
I want the bleachers to be safe to sit in. I would be a little afraid if you got in there and then there's still things going on and they're letting you sit next to a giant piece of construction. By the way, from the 608, that has to be the funniest thing I've ever heard. A Chicago politician saying something is against the law with a straight face.
That's right. And you would think that there might be some sort of executive order. I don't know if the mayor has that sort of power. It's against the law it's against ordinances that don't allow a renovation project to have construction crews working around the clock.
Aren't there concerts every once in a while at Wrigley that go late because something happens? And you never hear anyone getting in trouble for those. The concert goes an hour, 2 hours past whatever this ordinance is. So it's okay for a musician to do it, but apparently not to fix the bleachers.
Yeah, no, I guess so. Well, I mean, you know, the difference between a jackhammer and Billy Joel, I guess, are the differences, right? I mean,
that's true. He is getting older, though, so the singing, not always there.
Can it sound like a jackhammer?
No.
Is that the comparison?
No, no, no. I guess not like that, but it's not exactly beautiful anymore. Oh, I'm a Billy Joel fan. I'm not trying to be mean. He's just, he lets somebody else hit the high notes.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, that's, I don't know. I don't know how to respond to that. I didn't realize that he had had such a step down in his abilities.
It's interesting, actually, Patty. I don't know if you've been to a concert of anyone who's obviously a big, big name, but they're not exactly at the peak of their career anymore. And so I think it's better to have a backup singer somewhere that's hitting the notes you can't hit than try to hit them. But it's a little weird. It's a little not as fun as you'd want it to be.
When you have someone else hit the high notes for you, do you still open your mouth like you're doing it? And then, or do you just sit there and like play your instrument and let them hit the high notes?
That's a great, for Billy, it's a woman. The last concert I went to, it was a female singer. So I don't know if I would have believed it was him. But
right.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah, I don't know. You're kind of just giving up and saying, yeah, I'm not going to be able to.
If you
that
do
one.
That, then do you even put the singer on stage, or do you have him off stage? Just to hit the high notes for you, they don't get any kind of publicity at all.
Yeah, I don't. That seems like that's an awkward moment.
Right.
You know? I mean, because you're copping to the fact that you can't hit that high note anymore. So you're not having someone dub you, right? You're not lip syncing.
Right.
But you could. I think you could have fun with it and be like, pretend like that's what I would do. I don't think that Billy Joel wants to be that silly about it.
It's like the ghostwriter of a book. You can't really tell people what you do.
Oh, speaking of which, I was in a meeting and I found out like one of the writers I don't know if I should say this like if it's public knowledge or not. Maybe I won't, but like a very prolific thriller writer apparently has ghostwriters. Are you familiar with like how many of these guys who like churn out books might actually have ghostwriters? Has that ever really?
There were a couple writers here in the building at the Tribune that were ghostwriters for some pretty well-known authors that would either write portions of the book or just full on. Yeah.
Why am I so? I'm so naive sometimes, Craig. Why?
And
is
it's
that?
Interesting because with the younger, you know, newspaper writers or anything like that, you probably get them on the cheap, and you tell them, "You go ahead and write a draft of this book, and I'll use it from there." And then it's just your work. You just get to see it's your whole book.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's gotta be, and you can never say anything. You can never say that you contributed. That's.
And then there's the opposite. J.K. Rowling writes a book and pretends she's a man because she doesn't want people to like it. Because it's just her name on it. So she uses a ghostwriter name. It's not even a real person. So you can go both ways there.
And I think it ended up doing all right, didn't it?
But then that someone book leaked did great.
And then someone leaked that it was her, and then it did even better.
Right. Well, the first book, I think, when it came out, people were saying how amazing this writer, this unknown writer was, that they just came out of nowhere and they were so good. Well, yeah, it's J.K. Rowling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one thing. There was a writer named P.D. James. There are a lot of women who use initials, too, by the way, because they don't want the fact that it's a woman writer to affect the sales of the book. Mm-hmm.
So women can't be funny. They can't be writers. That's wonderful society.
It's a fun
really
place
good call.
To occupy. Right. It is what it is.
Yeah, I never noticed that, but you're absolutely right. Now that I think of it, a lot of prolific female writers, they just go by initials.
Mm-hmm. So because, you know, you have to get across an editor's desk and this isn't just, and I'm not saying that like just men do this. Women do this to each other too, where they'll say, oh, it's a woman writer, or they're harder to sell. They're harder to market. You know, for whatever reason, whatever experience they've developed, in the past, even if it's, you know, you've got J.K. Rowling, who's unarguably one of the most successful writers of all time. And you would think that that would be enough, but it's a case-by-case situation, you know? It's constantly having to prove yourself. And I mean, every writer has to prove themselves. But I think that if you can improve your odds, a woman's probably going to think about using initials.
Wow. From the 708, by the way, when concerts run late, they pay a fine. They don't care because of the money they're making during the show.
Oh, so I wonder if the Cubs can pay a fine for just working through the night.
I'm sure they could afford it, no matter what the fine is.
I would think it would be worth it to them.
I would think so, too, to have those bleachers complete. Yeah, like you said, you saw the pictures. It does not look close to done.
Mm-mm.
Some people that buy tickets might be sitting on, like, patches of rock.
Oh, look, that's not going to work out for opening day. By the way, we didn't answer our own question, which is what would the mayor have to do to be likable? Did we? I don't know. 312-981-7200. You can call or text. Is there something the mayor could do? I mean, like, should he dress up in a mascot costume? Would that like make him seem more likable? You know, maybe do a little Maybe like a Benny the Bull sort of a costume. I don't know.
Should he do the construction himself at Wrigley? Just go out there during the night and solo
hat.
It?
Oh yeah, with the weld. I could see him like. Do you see him as a welder? Maybe instead of is he pouring concrete? What do you imagine?
Yeah, I don't know. I see him pouring concrete. That's what I see him doing.
Maybe we did. You know, people like puppies. Do we do like some in order to make the mayor more likable? Should he like have a puppy? You know, just like carry them around with
or
him?
Or do a puppy calendar? I mean, the Blackhawks are very well liked, but Bickle's puppy calendar was adorable. Mm-hmm. So he could just do something like that.
And you know, like those baby carriers, like they're baby Bjorns, like a little papoose that you can put on your stomach, or on, you know, and like maybe he just has one of those in all of his press conferences. He's got a puppy everywhere he goes. I'm just trying to think. I mean, like that's the challenge that he has is that he doesn't come across as likable to people. So we're just we're picking one person over the other. I'm just wondering how you bridge that likability gap.
We got Johnny on the line. He wants to celebrate his birthday.
Hey, Johnny! Happy birthday!
Thank you. I'm 31 years young.
Hey, that's fantastic. Yay. 30s are great. Welcome to your 30s.
I'm loving it. Thank you.
Oh, good. Absolutely.
I love your show, by the way.
Oh, I appreciate that. What did you do to celebrate your birthday? Is it your birthday right now on Wednesday, or was it Tuesday?
No, it's technically Wednesday.
It's Wednesday. And what are your plans for your birthday?
I'm working.
Oh, you sound so sad about that. What kind of job do you have?
I work as a CNC machinist on second shift, so I get the pleasure of listening to the end of your show every night.
Oh, well, I'm glad to hear. Well, I hope you get to do something to celebrate later on after your shift.
Yeah, we'll see. I got a bar in the basement, so.
Oh, there you go. That takes out having to worry about driving home. So enjoy. Right. What's your cocktail of choice?
I'm more of a whiskey guy. I like whiskey and cherry coke, or Jameson and cream soda.
Nice. Well, enjoy, and when you get to have your cocktail, cheers to you on your birthday.
Thank you very much, Patty. You're wonderful.
Take care. Oh, thank you, Johnny.
By the way, Patty, we also got Fred on the line. Fred's got a thought about Rahm.
Oh, hey, Fred. What are your thoughts on Rahm Emanuel? Can he be likable?
I like the idea of the cherry Coke, though, by the way, from that last guy. It sounds delicious.
Doesn't it, though? Yeah.
Rahm Emanuel can do something wonderful to improve his likability.
Yes.
He can resign immediately.
Wow.
Yeah. He could do that.
Fred's throwing punches. These are punches getting thrown.
But no, Fred, he could pirouette. He could do a little pirouette also while he resigns. You know,
yes, because I believe he's trained as a dancer. I think you're right on that.
Yeah, dance move and resign immediately. That would be good.
Now, Fred, do you live in Chicago?
Yes, I do.
What is your for me? Like it's a lot of there's a lot of things that have been driving me crazy, but the privatization thing has been one of the key things I think that pisses people off a lot. What is your thing that has been disappointing with Rahm Emanuel?
I've seen some of the city work though. I don't mind some of the privatization because I've seen some of the city contract work. But I would say this: look, when you come into office as a mayor, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Your job is to negotiate with everybody.
Ooh.
And I don't think unions are always the answer to every problem, but when you come into office deliberately saying you're going to take away the teacher's right to strike.
Right.
And then you F-bomb. And then you, because I know an alderman who got F-bombed in the first week. Karen Lewis got F-bombed. I mean, our democracy should be a celebration of ideas and political will. It should never be threats and intimidation. So I think he's in the wrong job. I mean, I think he'd be a great corporate CEO or a good school principal, but a bad mayor.
Well, there you go.
Definitely a good dancer.
Have you had the chance to hear, I know that in a couple of shows, there have been interviews with David Axelrod about his work with Rahm Emanuel. It's been an interesting conversation, and we have so many conversations that are negative about Rahm Emanuel, so it was interesting to hear someone who has worked with him. Have you had a chance to hear any of those interviews?
You know what? I might listen to those, but I'm not a fan of David Axelrod. Every time someone went to jail under Mayor Daley, every time there was a hired truck scandal, that it was a fake mafia contract, every time Axelrod went and tried to run cover for the mayor in the media, every time. So Axelrod is just a thug and a henchman. He really is. It's unfortunate, but that's what he did. I mean, when people were going to jail for Mayor Daley, Axelrod went out and said, oh, the mayor didn't know, the mayor didn't know. So, frankly, I'm not a fan of Axelrod. He should resign, too, from whatever job he has.
I think he's writing books now and then his memoirs. Well, thank you, Fred. It was good to hear from you and hear your thoughts on that.
All right, Patty. Great show. Thank you. Take it easy.
Thank you. I'm sorry. What was that, Craig?
We have Fred on the line as well. He has a funny story to tell us.
Oh, another Fred?
Oh, Russ. Russ, excuse me. No, I
Russ.
Just hung up on Russ is here. Thank you.
Hey, Russ. What's up?
Hi, Patty. You were mentioning about your son that wanted to turn down the Disney World trip.
Yes, because he wanted perfect attendance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. Anyway.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know what? It's funny that you say that because Patrick on Twitter says that I have to stop talking about my kids and stand-up comedy. So I've been given directives from Twitter.
Wait till they're a little older. Anyway, my daughter, she was in the kindergarten. And she was a little under the weather. We were debating, well, maybe we should keep her home today. And she goes, no, I don't want to stay home. And we said, what? You know, usually kids, they all love to stay home. She goes,
sure.
No, that teacher's going to call me that name. And we said, what are you talking about? What name? She didn't like the name Absent.
Oh, words, she didn't like the name Absent?
Yeah, the teacher must have had a roll call, and when someone wasn't there, and the teacher probably said Absent, the way she said it. And my daughter didn't want to be called Absent.
Yeah, don't call me Absent. That's great.
Yeah.
Too
funny. Enjoy your show. I'm from
Thank you, Russ.
I grew up the same neighborhood I think you did.
Around Norwood Park?
Yeah, right around 5200 block of Mobile.
Oh, sure. All by the M streets. I'm up by the N. Yeah. I was up by the N streets, like Newburgh and Natoma, all those. Yep.
Yeah. I went to Hitch and Taft and, same area, except probably about 15, 20 years before you. I graduated in 69 from Taft.
Gotcha. Well, it's a great place to grow up, you know, just like many of the neighborhoods in Chicago. Thank you, Russ. Have a good one. By the way, I do want to mention that Marta Carlo has just put a video on Instagram, and also he posted a funny video called "Shame the Clown," and it's Marta Carlo TV on Instagram. So go ahead and check that out. I got that text from inside the house, Craig.
That is impressive that he didn't duck his head in and just tell you. By the way, from the 309, Ram has done well. We need to back off him a little bit. He just needs to stop exuding so much confidence.
Right, that's what I was saying. I mean, we're not picking. I think distance has given me a little bit more of a cynical impression. So, no, I agree. I think that it's all up for discussion, and we need to find out what the what the pros and cons are of both candidates. Chuy Garcia brings his experience, and maybe not at the same level that we're familiar with in Rahm Emanuel. And there are things that have been accomplished under Mayor Emanuel, and some things that people are disappointed by. So I think that there's obviously a lot to discuss over the next few weeks as we get closer to the election. We have a lot of things we meant to get to, and that's coming up after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN.
We didn't have time for it. We didn't have time to talk about it.
Hey, Craig, since you're in the studio by yourself, I'm not going to make you dance all alone and play out the whole song for What We Meant to Get to. Are you dancing or are you taking a break?
You know, I really appreciate
that. I'll be back tomorrow.
I got to be honest. Yes. I was just chair dancing for the first time ever on the show. I didn't want to do the whole stand-up dance.
I was just saying, I'm like, oh, poor Craig. He's got Adam, the engineer behind the board, and Nick's in studio. And I know that you've always been
dance.
A good sport. No, I know. And Nick up in traffic, probably looking at you like you're crazy if you try to start dancing. I know it's our thing. And I think that we can cease and desist for the night. For the dancing.
Why? Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. There's that commercial that we're running for the trips to Ireland, and I know Nick has been to Ireland. Nick, how long ago did you go to Ireland?
2010.
Is that some place that you just would love to be able to go to again? I mean, do you make like,
it's the best trip? It's the best trip I've ever gone on. By the way, they mispronounced Galway. They said it was Galway.
Oh,
on that
that's
commercial.
Weird. That's a little awkward.
It's actually called Galway. So
yeah. I loved being in Ireland. The only problem I had was letting another friend of mine drive. Did you do much driving in Ireland, or were you?
My ex-wife did. I mean, I was in the car.
so
and we did the Ring of Kerry. We did the whole. I mean, we were there for geez, well over 2 weeks, and mm-hmm. we did everything. I mean, we were from south, as you know, as farther south as Cork, and all the way up to Belfast.
Oh, it's wonderful! Yeah, it's such a great trip, and the Cliffs of Moher is are breathtaking.
Yep.
I just I did not make it to the Blarney Stone, and I know that that's got
we did that. I didn't kiss it.
Because
I don't want herpes.
Right.
yeah.
Yeah, as we get closer to St. Patrick's Day, the Irish Heritage Center up on the northwest side has some great stuff. Have you always been a fan of things Irish, or was
I'm half Irish, so yeah.
Well, that doesn't mean we have to be fans. I mean,
I love everything Irish. I drink bottles of Jameson a day. So yeah, no. I mean, I'm half Irish, half Italian, which means I drink and I eat.
Mm-hmm. No, that's
pretty much it.
I grew up in my dad was second generation Irish, and my mom, who is from Mexico, she's got a little bit of an attitude when it comes to the Irish stuff. But she's
in what way?
Around.
Attitude about what?
Well, she's like, oh my God, with the Irish music is so sad. Oh, it's so hard to be alive. Do you know, with Mexican music, it makes you want to get up and dance. You are happy for life.
Oh, yeah. I love Irish music.
So
do I. My favorite Christmas song is a Pogue song.
Oh, really?
It's Fairy Tale in New York. It's the greatest Christmas song ever. It starts out with a couple in a drunk tank on Christmas morning. I mean, that's it right there. That's all you need.
I'll have to look for that one.
Know Fairy Tale in New York? You'd know Fairy Tale. If you heard it, you'd know it. Fairy Tale in New York by the Pogues. For me, it's the greatest Christmas song of all time.
I will look that one up. I'm sure you're right. I will recognize it when I
hear it. Yeah, you'd know it. If you heard it, you'd know it. The title, they don't say Fairy Tale New York at all in the lyrics of the song.
Right.
So it's one of those songs that's named something that doesn't, exist within the lyrics.
Right. Well, I love that they wake up in a drunk tank. That's
exactly how the song starts.
The
Christmas morning, drunk, in a drunk tank, in jail. That's how it starts.
And the Irish have the greatest drinking songs. They just do. There's no getting around that.
Well, I mean, the thing is, when you go to, to Ireland, and a lot of people who have never been or have never actually experienced the genuine Irish culture or more specifically pubs, have no idea what an Irish pub really is. If you've gone to a lot of the pseudo cookie cutter Irish pubs. Mm-hmm. In this city or any other city, that's not what an Irish pub is. I mean, there are a few great ones in this city. One of them, there's a few that are really, really good. But when you go to a pub in Ireland, and you go in there, I mean, it's about the music. It's about the people all like together. There's live music. Everybody's just kind of sitting around. It feels like you're in a home. It feels like you're in a house. My favorite one ever is McGann's, and it has nothing to do with Pat. But it's called McGann's, and it's in Doolin in Ireland.
Okay.
If anybody is ever in Doolin, that's when you stay when you do the Ring of Kerry, by the way. You stay at Doolin. It's very close to the Ring of Kerry. And we went to McGann's, and it was the best. It was one of the greatest pubs I've ever gone to in my life.
Well, and if you ever get a chance to go back, I mean, I love Ireland, but if you get a chance, also take a ferry over and go to Wales, too.
Listen, man, all of those areas I'd love to go to, Scotland and all those areas. I love that stuff. It's my kind of weather, too.
I know.
It's like wet,
cool
yes! and 60 degrees. Oh, awesome.
It's good wool sweater weather.
Exactly. That's why they drink so much over there.
It really is. What do you have coming up on your show?
We got a band coming in called Dirty Dirty Money, and these guys were in before. They were great. And we're also going to talk about brushes with fame. Like if you've met, there are a couple of really funny stories about people running into celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, hey, oh my God, look, it's this guy.
Right.
And we're going to talk about brushing with fame.
Oh, that's great. Coming up on Nick D's show next. Yeah. Craig, I will literally see all of you guys tomorrow. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to do this. Adam, thank you for all your help on running the show. I will see everybody tomorrow. I'll be back. It's time now for our news. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN, WGNradio.com. Here's Rob Martier.